Today we're going to talk about what it means to be successful and the formula which leads to success. Now, I'm not talking about prosperity. I'm talking about a life that is well lived. But before that, I thought I would give you a little bit encouragement. I'm going to ask my little friend, Garrison, if he would come up here with me. Garrison, can you welcome Garrison to the stage, please? All right, buddy. How are you?
You doing okay?
Yeah.
All right. You remember what you're going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Are you going to call the cats? You think so? You think you know how to do it?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. Then call the cats. Watch them, everybody. Here we go.
K-S-U, roll cats. K-S-U, roll cats. K-S-U, roll cats.
Good job. Very good. Hey, would you like for us to build you a big children's ministry playground? Yeah? Oh, yeah. Tell them, then fork over the money. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you so much. What a great job. Okay, so we did that first service. We started, and then he went back, and then I started my sermon, and then he came back on. Now, I want you to know, I just wanted you to have a little bit of encouragement, but that wasn't the encouragement. The encouragement is this. That little boy was told when he was in his mother's womb that he was not going to live. He was not going to live outside of his mother's womb. And you know what you did? You know what we did? We prayed for him. And look at the power of God. Isn't that amazing? That's the encouragement that I want you to know, because I want this to be a place where miracles happen. And they are, and they will. Now, I want to begin by just encouraging you because, and the reason is because, you know what? Everybody needs to be encouraged in life, right? We all need to be encouraged, especially in the midst of this pandemic and all of this junk that we're going through. I mean, maybe you lost your job. Maybe you've had some financial issues. Maybe you just got a bad health diagnosis. Maybe you're in a relationship breakup. Maybe you didn't get the job that you thought you were going to get, but I want you to know, you fill in the blank, but we all need to be encouraged, right? And you know why we need to be encouraged? Because being discouraged is hard. It's tough. Life is hard when we're discouraged. But the worst part of it is, if you remember, as we learned from last week, is this. The reason discouragement is hard because it wades in the waters of fear. And nobody wants to live being afraid, right? In our lesson today, I want to go back to a scripture verse about the children of Israel. You remember the last time that we left them, God has come to Joshua and he says, Joshua, be strong and courageous because I'm about to do something through you in my people. Well, let's go back to the scripture verse. It says, so they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. So here we have this people, this children of Israel, and they're afraid. They're afraid because they see themselves as grasshoppers. And the worst part is that the Canaanites, their enemies, they also view them as grasshoppers. Well, that's the way it began. But I don't want you to be too hard on these people because their leader kind of started out the same way. Let me show you what I mean. But Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send anyone else. Do you realize that Moses gave God five excuses as to why he shouldn't be the leader? Why did he do that? Because he was scared. He was scared to death. But here's what I want to show you, what happened to this man after God got a hold of him. Look at this. Then Moses called for Joshua. This is just before Moses dies. And as all Israel watched, so now we have Israel listening in, and he said to him, "Be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors he would give them. You are the one who will divide it among them as their grants of land. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." You know what I think is funny about this? Is here we have the one who was scared telling the one who is scared, "Don't be afraid." Now, my question for you this morning is this. So why does this matter to God? Why is this such a big deal to God, this whole thing about being strong and courageous? Here's why. Fear is the opposite of faith. That's why. God doesn't want us to live in fear. He wants us to live in strength and power and might. Now, think about this with Joshua. Joshua just finds out that Moses, God's servant, is dead. On top of that, he finds out that he's the leader of this 2.5 million rebellious people, and the people heard God say to Joshua, "You will lead my people across the Jordan River." But you know what God did for Joshua? God comes to Joshua, not just once, but seven different times, and he tells him, "Joshua, you don't have to be afraid." And then God gives Joshua something. And it's the same gift that he gives to all of us. You know what it is? The guarantee to his success. How many of you in here want to be successful in life? Listen this morning to God's guarantee. Stand with me out of respect for God's word, would you please? And I'm going to read from Joshua chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 7 through 9. This is where we're going to camp this morning. "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." This is God's word for God's people. Let's pray together. Father, this morning, in a world that is wading in the waters of fear, give me the courage, Father, to be obedient in all that you ask me to do. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So I want you to know that the very first thing that God does with Joshua when he comes to him is he eliminates all of his excuses. I love this about God. It's almost as if God said, "I went through this whole excuse thing with Moses. I'm not going through it again." So what he does is he rids Joshua of his excuses. You know how he does it? He says, "Joshua, you are the one. I chose you. I picked you." So Joshua could never say, "I'm wondering if I'm the guy for the job. I want you to understand this morning that wherever you are in life, maybe you're a husband, maybe you're a wife, maybe you're a leader, maybe you're a speaker, maybe you coach golf, maybe you coach football, maybe you teach, whatever you are doing, God has come to you and he's eliminating all of your excuses. In other words, if you're wondering, do I have what it takes to do what I'm supposed to do? God is telling you, yes, you do. You know why? Because I chose you. You are called. I picked you. So here's what that means. It means that God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. You see, when God chooses you, when God picks you, you haven't already arrived. What God is saying is that I'm calling you, I'm picking you, I'm choosing you, and I'm going to work through you so that people will say, look at what God is doing through that man. Look at what God is doing through that woman. You see, that's the purpose of God's call. And look at what he says. It doesn't say that he called. He says he equips the called. In other words, as you go along, he will give you what you need to be successful. And that's what we're here to talk about today. How do we become successful? How do we live that life that is well lived? Well, here's the first thing I want to remind you. As God equips you to coach that team, to teach that class, to lead that family, I want you to know that what God equips you with is not necessarily what you need to be successful in that particular vocation. What he does do is he equips you with what you need so when the rest of the world looks at you, they can say, so that's what Jesus looks like if he was a golf coach. So that's what Jesus looks like if he was a husband. So that's what Jesus looks like if he was a teacher. God's promise is he does not call the equipped, but he equips you as you go forward. And that's what we want to focus on this morning. So what does that equipping look like? And how can God change my life so that I can become what God is calling me to be? Here's the point. None of us have arrived. And as long as you have breath in your lungs, guess what? God has a purpose for you. He's got a plan for you, and he wants to use you. Now, we talked about last week about what it meant to be courageous. But God didn't just say to Joshua, be courageous. Do you remember what else he said? Be strong and courageous. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to be strong in God's eyes? Well, I did a little search in the scripture, and I thought the best way to show you what this means is in a story of King David, when King David is talking to his son Solomon, and he's giving him some instructions. This is a deathbed moment, and listen to what David says to his son. He says, I am about to go the way of all the earth. And then he said, so be strong, act like a man, and observe what the Lord requires. This is what God says about being strong. Your strength does not come in who you are. Your strength comes because I chose you. Do you understand the importance of that? God says, take your responsibility seriously. Man up, woman up. Do women say that? I don't know. But here's what it means. It just means to what God has entrusted you with, take it seriously. You've been given a responsibility and act like you know what you're supposed to do because God will give you exactly what he wants you to have. All right. So now you know what it means to be strong and be courageous. What I want to do now is I want to go through these verses and I want to talk about the formula that leads to success. Okay, the formula that leads to success. But here's the first thing I want you to understand. When Moses died, Moses gave to Joshua something very important. You know what he gave him? His journal. Everything that God told Moses to do was written down. In the Hebrew, it was called the Torah. In the Greek, it was called the Pentateuch. You know what God did? God gave to Joshua through Moses the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Do you understand what God was doing? He was telling Joshua, I'm giving you the key to your success, and now you hold it in your hand. Now, I get shivers down my spine because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm holding that very same word of God. And according to what the scriptures teach, is that if I follow what Joshua did, what God gave Joshua to follow, I have those same words, then I too will be successful in life. I will have lived a well-lived life. And isn't that what you want to do? Well, let's go and let's find out a little bit more specifically about this, what this exactly means. And we're going to start in verse 7. And here's what it means. Whoops. I think I went too far here. There we go. It says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Okay, if we can leave that up here. So the very first thing, the very first step of being successful that God tells us is this. Obey my word. The very first thing he tells us, obey my word. Now listen to this. This is what it means. How do you please God? Well, remember, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So how do you please God? Faith. Faith pleases God, and faith is the demonstration of obedience, right? Faith is the demonstration of obedience. And obedience comes from the courage that God gives us through his promises. Remember, we talked about that last week. It's where your heart is positioned. Now, let me give you an example of what that looks like. Remember Abraham? Abraham had a son by the name of Isaac. And you remember that one day the Bible tells us that God came to Abraham and he said, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. Say what? I want you to sacrifice your son, your only son, the one that you love. You know what the Bible tells us what Abraham did the very next morning? It says early in the morning he got up along with Isaac and one of his servants, and he headed to the mountain where he was supposed to sacrifice Isaac. Now here's my question that I would ask you. How did Abraham have the faith to be obedient to kill his own son? You know how it happened? He remembered the promise of God. And you remember what the promise of God said to Abraham? Abraham, the seed will come from your body. So the Bible tells us that when Abraham went to sacrifice his son, even if he had to sacrifice him, he believed that God would raise him from the dead. That's the power of the word of God. Abraham demonstrated that faith in God because of the promises that God gave to him. And that's where you and I need to be. If you want to be successful in life, if you want to live life well, then you must be obedient to the word of God. Well, it doesn't stop there. Let's go on here. Did you notice it also says, do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or the left. In other words, it may be some versions say, don't turn to the right or the left. Okay, as soon as I read that, the verse that comes to my mind is Psalm 119, verse 105. My word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. There's a path involved. And here's what God is telling us. Joshua, this is not about winning battles. This is about you being obedient to me. This is a spiritual issue. And if you are obedient to me, guess what? All the military success that you want is going to follow. But there's a catch here. And the catch is this: that obedience must be based on a relationship. That obedience must be based on a relationship. Look at this. Joshua will succeed not because he obeys God, but because God is with him to enable him to obey his instructions. Do you see that? Joshua will succeed not because he obeys God, but because God's presence positions his heart to be in a place where he can be obedient. So this is what God is saying to Joshua. He's saying, obedience is the key to your military victories. Now think about that in our lives. What God is saying to us is this: obey my word and don't turn to the right or to the left. Stay on the path. Why? Because it's the key to your well-being and victories in life. Now, we're going to go a little bit deeper. And let's get into the details of what God is now saying to Joshua about what success looks like. And here's what he says. Look at this. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is God speaking to Joshua. He's telling him, Joshua, if you want to be successful, here's what you need to know. It's never been about military battles. It's always been about your faithfulness to me. And so I want to share with all of you as you're walking this journey called life, it's not about all of the battles that you will fight. It's about your obedience to God's and faithfulness to God's word. If you want to be successful, that's what it looks like. But then God tells us there's three things that you have to do. And here we go. Here's the formula for success. Number one, this law shall not depart from your mouth. Remember what I said to you last week? That simply means you talk about it. I said last week that if you don't talk to your Bible is less likely to talk to you. It's interesting how this works. I tried it this week. I really didn't try it. I kind of got forced into it. So I was walking, and I was walking over in Sedgwick County Park. I've seen many of you there over time, and I was just kind of going over my sermon notes and things like that. And as I was walking, all of a sudden, around the corner came the biggest black German Shepherd I've ever seen in my life. All right, now I'm going to tell you, I had a couple really bad experiences with dogs when I was little. So the next thing I looked for when I saw that big German Shepherd coming around the tree line was, where is the owner? And there wasn't any. And there was no chain or anything on him. So I will admit to you that the very first thing I experienced was fear, if you know what I mean. But then something happened. All this week, I've been in the Word of God probably more than I have in a long time. And God has really touched my heart. And all of a sudden, in the middle of this dog coming at me, the Bible reminded me, God's Word reminded me, hey, you don't have a spirit of fear, because I'm thinking fight or flight. But then I remembered what God said to me. Bob, I didn't give you a spirit of timidity, a spirit of fear. I gave you a spirit of power and might. And you know what happened? That fear began to go away. And then I remember God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I remember God said that he will be a shield around me. And then nothing could stop. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to stand up a little stronger. I'm getting pretty brave. All of a sudden, the owner comes around the corner. Whew. And the owner yells, Brutus! I thought that was a cool name for a dog. Okay, Brutus. And that dog stops in its tracks. It's probably about from here to there away. And that dog is just looking at me and his tail is wagging, and he is slobbering all over. And the guy comes up, he goes, I am so sorry. Well, Brutus takes off, and he comes over, and he just loves on me, and he's licking me all over. And I'm thinking, wow, that's the power of God. Here's what I want you guys to understand. It works. When you get the word of God in you and you begin to talk about it, it works. Here's the second thing about that success. Meditate on it day and night. So the first one is you talk about it. The second one is you think about it. You think about it. You ask questions. God, what are you saying to me in here? What are you talking to me about? So I was in Joshua chapter 2, and in Joshua chapter 2, it's just 17 verses, but it's the story of God telling Joshua, okay, get the Israelites moving. And so here's what God tells him. You get the Israelites, and you move them to the Jordan River, and the Jordan River at this time is at flood. So they're there for 3 days, and I'm sitting there thinking, why would God move the people there to stand there and look at the Jordan for 3 days? And I'm thinking, okay, 3 days. Maybe that has something to do with the resurrection, no? So I just continued to pray. And then as I went on and read it, you know what happened? I realized that God then says, he goes, the tabernacle is going to come, and you are not to move until you see the tabernacle move, because you've never been this way before. And so during this, all of a sudden, God just reveals to me, okay, so here's the Jordan River at flood stage, and there's the tabernacle. And you know what happens? You can't look at the Jordan River at flood stage. You can't look at the obstacle in your life and at the same time look at the tabernacle, which is the presence of God. And so those Israelites, just like you and I, we have a choice. We can choose to look at all of the stuff that's going on in our life, or we can keep our eyes focused on the tabernacle. Because when God moves, this is what God tells us. You follow me. You know why? Because you've never been this way before. Here's the last one. It says, do everything written in it. Now remember, your heart has to be positioned in the right place to be able to be obedient to the word of God. And God's presence is what's going to bring that about. So you talk about it, you think about it, and then you be obedient to it. I remember when we were at the Holy Lands, and Aaron and I one night decided that we were going to go out. It was later, and we decided to go to the west, to the Wailing Wall, or the Western Wall. And all of the Jews were there, and the men were on one part side and the women were on the other side. And it brought a couple of scripture to mind. Here's one of them. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. In other words, that word meditate means to mutter. It means to talk about it. So here we are. We go to the Western Wall, and the Jews are all like this. They're all bobbing up and down like this, and they're meditating. You can hear them talking, and they're saying the scripture, and they're repeating the scripture. Here's another verse. It says, oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. Okay? Some of them had boxes on their forehead there. That was the word of God in there. And so here's a people who are living this out, and they're saying, okay, we're going to talk about it. They're talking about it out loud to the wall. They're meditating on it. They're thinking about it. They're asking questions, and then they are obedient. And that's what God is telling us. He's saying simply, if you want to have the life that you've been dreaming of, not a life of prosperity, but if you want to live a life that is well lived, this is what you do. Once again, God is saying to Joshua, explicitly, Joshua, obedience is tied to your success. All right, let's go on. We're almost done. This is the last thing that God says to Joshua now, and he says, this is my command. I love this. He doesn't say, this is my suggestion. He goes, this is my command, Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God is telling Joshua for the last time, be strong and courageous, and remember that you are the leader, you are the man that I have chosen. Now, this is where we need to make sure we bring it all together. What God is telling Joshua is this: Joshua, it's not about if you do A, then God will do B. It's not about that at all. It's about a relationship. You see, the promised land and heaven is not our goal. The goal is the relationship. Heaven, the promised land, are the byproduct. Do you understand? Now, my daughter's here, so I may have to apologize to her. But you know what? When I was growing up, I heard these words a lot. Bob, I want you to clean the garage. Oh, I got stuff to do, Dad. I don't want to clean the garage. Bob, clean the garage. Dad, why do I have to, Bob, clean the garage? Why, Dad? Because I said so. Anybody heard that before? Now, you know what the worst part is? I use that same thing with my kids. You know what the bad thing about that is? What I was telling my kids is, I'm not interested in you. I'm interested that you do what I ask you to do. And I was very good at that. I could be very intimidating. I could take a step. I could tower over them or whatever. And so I used fear because I want them to do what I told them to do. Why? Because I'm the boss. If you ask them, you know what they'll say? You know what, Dad, you say to us a lot? I brought you into this world. I can take you out of this world. Okay? I'm so sorry, Nicole. And Dan, if you're watching, I'm begging your forgiveness. But here's what I want you to understand, though, about this. You cannot have a relationship with somebody and still be obedient. But you can't have a relationship with somebody because it becomes hard for you to become disobedient. You know what I should have said to my kids and what God was saying to Joshua? Joshua, listen to me. All of these things are going to come about. All of these military success are going to come about. But Joshua, it's not just about I want you to do that what I told you to do because I just want you to do it. I want you to do it because you love me and because I love you. I want you to be obedient to my word and obey me because we have a relationship. Do you see what God is telling Joshua? It's not about just doing what I want you. I want you to do it because you and I are like this. All right, last thing, and then I'm going to close. I want you to look at that phrase and it says, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's say that together. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Did you notice what God did here? He switched things around. In other words, the way that you would actually say this is this. Yahweh will be with you wherever you go. In other words, what God does is he brings his personal name into it. Do you see what God is telling Joshua? He goes, Joshua, because we have a relationship, I'm telling you and I'm saying by my name, Yahweh, I am going with you. And remember, if God ever sends you, he sends you because he's going with you. And so here's what happens. God is saying, Joshua, you're going to fight battles against people who believe in the God Baal. And Joshua, you're going to fight battles against the Canaanites who believe in the God El. But I want you to know that it's just not I'm going with you, it's Yahweh, your God, is going with you. When God said that, you know what happened? It already began. God's power already began. Let me show you what I mean. The Lord has given us the whole land, they said, for all the people in the land are terrified of us. You know who said that? Rahab, who was in the big city of Jericho, their first enemy and war and conquest that they were going to have to defeat. My dear friends in Christ, God wants you not just to live life, but he wants you to live it to the full. And in this, his word this morning, he has showed you this is how you do it. It starts off with a relationship between you and God. And then he says, obey my word, talk about it, meditate on my word, think about it, and obey it. And remember, the obedience comes from the promises of God. And one last thing, you won't have to do this alone, because Yahweh, your God, will be with you.